Today we're going to talk about the SharePoint patterns and practices and Office Dev patterns and practices, and also what we have currently for you to get started today. So tomorrow or on Monday when you go back to work, what you can actually use within your work. We're going to also talk about what does the BNP mean for the SharePoint framework. So how do we actually start adapting or moving with the SharePoint framework together with BNP as well? We're going to have a look on some slightly the historical things. So we're going to have a look on how did we got here, what are the numbers, because a lot of the people are kind of asking that, hey, is it actually okay to use that? Or is it okay to use the BNP core component, which I'm going to show if you don't know what it is today as well. But we're going to show the numbers so you will have more confidence on using what we're actually providing as well. So my name is Vesa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager nowadays in SharePoint engineering, or we are SharePoint / OneDrive engineering, but I'm a SharePoint guy. So they kind of a funky thing, at least from my side. I'm a SharePoint guy, but they have a combination of the organization. It's SharePoint and OneDrive. But anyway, let's get started on the actual topic. So because there's always people who are not super, super aware what the BNP is all about, I wanted to create a small story. I've been there since the SharePoint 2007, started banging my head against the wall, trying to do technical stuff with SharePoint, trying to figure out how the feature framework and all of that was working. At least one of the things for me always have been that it's actually super, super frustrating trying to learn the new stuff and the right stuff and what's up out there. And then you use Google or Bing or search engines in general, trying to figure out which of those articles are true and which are not. Trying to figure out how to make stuff actually happen. And really what we want to do with BNP is that we want to make people, we want to create a community where people can actually find other people who are working on similar topics. And they're able to share what they have learned between the other people within a community and vice versa. So everybody will benefit out of it, because then once somebody has banged their head against the wall, the other ones can actually benefit out of it. If the people are actually sharing. But fundamentally, that's really the key idea of the BNP. We want to make sure that people have a kickstart solutions. We want to make sure that you don't have to worry about, is this the right thing to do or not? There's proven patterns, there's simple patterns, so you can easily adapt kind of a stepping stones to the more technical stuff. And then there's really, I would say, much more technical stuff as well, which is then more for production-ready usage. One of the things what we always do with kind of a clarify with the SharePoint BNP or Office Dev BNP is that we're not actually part of the official, the classic patterns and practices organization. We're part of the SharePoint. And in SharePoint, this actually doesn't mean that we are deep diving on an academically correct way of doing stuff. It's more around us providing you also those simple samples. So those stepping stones that you're able to understand how to do customizations in SharePoint Online or in on-premises as well. So it's a slightly different perspective, even though the terminology, what we use, is pretty much the same. But there's also a lot of hardcore stuff there as well, which we're not going to actually go through today, because we want to keep it relatively simple based on the levels of the session as well. So if you think about the BNP, if you think about the journey of the BNP actually started back in 2013. There was a few guys internally in Microsoft, me included, who started actually working on how can we do full trust code and farm solution transformation to the adding model. And really the key point at the time was that a lot of the Microsoft messaging around the adding model was around store, create ISVs, create your application, put it in the store. But that wasn't really what the enterprises were looking for. They don't actually want to build an application or an add-in and put it in the store. They were rather looking for how can I move my existing SharePoint to the SharePoint Online and have at least some of those customizations available, which I have in on-premises as well. And that was really the start of the journey. Back in 2014, we went then live to CodePlex. Funny story, maybe I can actually mention that out loud as well. When we started in 2013, the initiative name was actually GAPS. And where does the GAPS come from? Well, because we were addressing gaps. And we were then having a discussion with engineering on what's actually missing from an enterprise development perspective. And one of the APIs which we have been receiving, as an example for CSAM and REST after that, are coming from those times. We spent time on working hands-on with the customers, and we realized that some of the critical APIs were missing. And that's the reason why you still are seeing a lot of the CSAM APIs getting involved and involved and involved, which is a good thing. 2014, we went live, public, and slightly later, the initiative name was changed to BNP. In 2015, we really concentrated on reusability. So there was like BNP core component, the provisioning engine, probably most used capability within the BNP initiative right now. And in 2016, the BNP ownership has been moving to the SharePoint engineering. So now what we want to do with BNP from a SharePoint engineering perspective is to use that as the channel for all of the new stuff which is coming from the SharePoint framework and SharePoint customization perspective. So whenever we will release additional stuff, not just the client-side web part, which is now public, it will come through the BNP channels. We will do webcasts. We will help you to get started. We will create you the stepping stones. We'll give you samples and more complex stuff as well. And that's a really great story for us who've been working in the BNP, but also for engineering perspective. Because now they have a channel to actually reach to you. Because we in the SharePoint engineering, we really want to know what's working, what's not working, what are you not happy with, and we want to address those. How fast, that's always a different thing. But we want to have that channel, and that channel is BNP. I wanted to show some numbers because we're super excited on these numbers as well. Because people are always, like mentioned, they're kind of slightly scared. Can I use the BNP core component or the provisioning engine or not? We have now 2,000 tenants in production where the BNP core component is being used right now. We have more than 11,000 unique visitors within a GitHub, the BNP repositories, within the past 2 weeks. Because GitHub only gives us past 2 weeks, it doesn't actually give us more statistics. We have more than 1 billion requests coming through the Office Dev BNP core component within the past 3 months. And to be fully honest and transparent, which I am, if you never heard of me talking, the whole team was super kind of a mind blown that, oh, that's a humongous number. And it is, but it's based on facts. So what we're doing is just to clarify that. How are you actually getting that metrics? If you use the core component, we're adding an additional header whenever the requests are coming in. And because we are Microsoft and SharePoint the SharePoint Online, we can access that header entry. So we know that how many requests are going through. We're not tracing anything else, but we want to be transparent and open on what's actually happening on those things. Because the metrics do mean a lot for us as well. If you don't like that, you can always download the code, recompile, and that metric entry is no longer there. We have more than 300 contributors. Obviously, there are people who've contributed more. There are people who contributed less. But 300 contributors across the BNP repos. And that's a humongous number as well. And we have more than 150 samples get you started. So you don't actually have to go and start looking into how do I do X and Y and Z? Can I actually modify user profile properties using CSAM? Or is there an alternative way of doing that? How do I do branding in on-premises? What about responsive UI? We actually got those samples covered. Maybe the biggest challenge for people have been to find them. So how do you actually find all of the samples and how do you start using them? And is it okay to use them? And we're going to talk about all of that today within the session. So first of all, thank you, everybody. Thank you, all of those who contributed, and thank you, all of those who've been using the BNP, because both sides are essentially contributing to the work that we're doing. So thank you, everybody in the room, and let's have a quick clap, because I know that there's tens and tens of people who contributed on the door. So big thing for us as well, no doubt. Good. So just a quick summary on those who might not be slightly super aware. So wait a minute, what is it? You need to remember one URL, HTTP AKMS SharePoint BNP. We're going to revamp slightly that page. It's pretty hectic right now. There's quite a lot of information. But you have videos. We have code samples listed there. There's actually code sample search available over there as well. There's reusable components. The videos are showing how to get started with those and how you can use them within your customer engagements. We do have guidance documentation in MSDN as well. So always people are asking that, well, is it in MSDN? And the guidance documentation is in MSDN. So all of the stuff what we do in PNP is actually blessed and signed by engineering as well. So whatever we release as a guidance that it, or as a sample, that's absolutely valid to use. We're not going to actually release anything which would be not supported within a SharePoint Online. We do also have a monthly community calls. There's more information behind of that URLs as well. And the themes are on SharePoint Framework, obviously. That's the new thing. Which are just getting started with that because the dev preview started in August. There's already a few samples available. I'm going to show you the resources slightly later today. A lot of stuff is still on SharePoint, adding model and remote APIs. So how do I do typical enterprise customizations, what the customers are asking? How do I do templating? How do I do reusable self-service site collection provisioning? All of that is available for you to consume. And really the key point to understand is that it's for you free to use. You don't have to send us an email and ask, can I use this? No, no, it's for you. You download it, you start using that within your customization or within your deployments, and that's it. If you need support, we have channels to help you with that one as well. And the community is relatively big, so the community is also helping each other quite actively, which is brilliant because it's working, which is a really good thing. And that's pretty much what I just mentioned. See, I didn't remember that the slide is there. But anything in PNP initiative is free for you to consume. We're also sharing slides and all of that stuff. Just consume them. If you find nice looking graphics, just you can use that within your own presentations. Really, really powerful thing as well, because that probably will save a lot of your time when you need to present the technical solutions for your customers. Good. So let's have a look on quickly what do we have as in existing assets and solutions for you to reuse. And after that, we'll move into the SharePoint Framework section. So what do we have there and how to get started and what's going to happen on that side in the future as well. But really, the existing solutions, like mentioned, these do exist for you to kickstart your project. So whenever you have a business requirement, whenever you have a functional requirement, you can actually go to these solutions and our search tools, which probably not that many people are even aware, to find the sample which is relevant for you. So you can actually then have a look on the APIs and, oh, this is how it actually works, and then you adapt that to your existing customizations. But let's actually have a look on that. So if we go to the dev.office.com, resources, PNP, sample, and guidance, that's where we actually have a search tool. And I'm going to show this one in practice because I know that people are not aware of this. Every now and then we are getting feedback that, hey, if I go to the GitHub, it's overwhelming. There's too much. I can't actually keep up on what's happening. But that's not the intention. The GitHub is only there to store the code. And you're able to download that down or you're able to use the GitHub fork or functionalities. But the search tool is there to find actually what's relevant for you. So let's quickly have a look on that. I'm going to walk through the steps to get there, so you'll know how to get there within Monday, probably, hopefully. You have a free weekend when you get back to your day-to-day work. So let me switch on the dev.office.com, just making sure that everybody sees this, slightly zooming on here, dev.office.com. Even though it's dev.office.com, it actually has SharePoint stuff in it as well. So it's not like, well, SharePoint is kind of part of the Office organization, so don't get fooled. One of the things with what we use for communications, I want to make sure that people do follow this, is the blog posts. So as an example, every single Monday, we do release a new webcast around different topics of PNP. And those are blog posts within the dev.office.com. And we actually are seeing, unfortunately, that people are not quite finding this location. We also do monthly communications in here. So if you want to see what has happened, as an example, in the September release of PNP, I can actually search that. Let's write September. Oop, September release. And we actually have a summary on what has happened within the PNP within the last summer, last month. And that's also listing all of the new samples, all of the new webcasts, what's actually relevant for you. And you can use it as a reference, but it's a great tool for you to understand what actually happened within the last month. Because I know that we are covering kind of overwhelming the community as well. We are communicating here and there, webcast videos and all of that. But monthly summary is there for you to kind of keep up. You can always go back and have a look on, hey, what happened? And also, what's really, really important, who actually contributed? Because we want to make sure that those people who contribute for the benefit of the community are getting acknowledged as well. If those people actually, within that month, and if those people want, We also give an acknowledgement for the companies they work with, because obviously contributing and sharing back code might actually take some time. So, but that depends on the individual persons. Are they doing that on their free time or company time and so on? But we try to get all of the people credits who are helping us on this journey and helping others on this journey of learning how to do SharePoint customizations. Now, going back on the, I'm going to go back on the front page, so I'm not actually jumping from the blog site. If we go here, resources and PNP, and it's slightly hidden, you'll land to our PNP page where you can see who are part of the PNP core team. The core team are the people who have permissions to approve submissions and validate your code, which you're contributing back. So it has to be a smaller type of, smaller group of people. But this is really a one page right now. We're looking into formatting the page in a much more understandable way, where we have latest samples, recent samples, monthly updates, training, weekly webcasts, and all of the material available. But the page is actually, it's really difficult to follow up on what's always happening and what's the new samples. And I know that this is relatively hidden on a page, even though it's right in the middle. So if I zoom in, we can actually see code samples link in here. And that's where we go to the PNP code finding tool. And it seems to be that it's actually slightly cold, so it's going to warm up, open up in a second. But this is really the tool when you start developing something. If you're looking for guidance around responsive UI in a classic SharePoint, well, the modern SharePoint is full responsive by default. But if you're looking for guidance like responsive UI, how do we do that? There's multiple ways of doing that. If you're looking for guidance on how to do site provisioning, site collection provisioning, how to do JavaScript embedding, you click that code samples link and you land to our tool in a second. It is still clocking. Hopefully it's landing there in a second because I want to show the tool. It's working pretty pretty well. But you can easily find what's relevant for you rather than going to the GitHub because, like mentioned, if you go to the GitHub and samples, it's a big, big list of things, which is really hard to follow up. And I'm pretty sure that, come on, give me the page. So, while we're waiting that to come, I'm going to do this one in practice. So if I go to the GitHub, and this is the GitHub location where all the samples, PNP samples are. So github.com office dev PNP. So this is actually where the simplistic samples are. We do have slightly more complex reusable components, and those are in the individual repositories. But the reason why we want to have that sample tool is that if I go to the sample section, and it's not the what's written there, it's not actually relevant, but the amount of samples is pretty overwhelming. And it might be pretty difficult for you to find what's relevant for you, so which is exactly the reason why the tool actually exists. But unfortunately, the devoffice.com seems to be relatively slow, so we're going to come back on that. I'm going to show that one when we start the next demo, so let's move back on the slides. So it's going to pop up in a second. Good. So what else do we actually produce? Videos and webcasts. We want to make sure that people are aware of this as well. So quite recently, we moved from Channel 9 to YouTube. Every single Monday, we release a webcast around SharePoint framework or SharePoint webhooks or whatever is the relevant for that particular time. The PNP PowerShell is actually widely used across the world as well. And there's a lot of webcasts and videos available how to get started on those individual topics. Because some of the stuff that the PNP is sharing might be pretty complex. So these are the webcasts where then core team members or external contributors, we have a chat and they're explaining how to get started with those samples as well. Like, for example, the PNP partner pack, which we're going to see it later today. But really valuable asset if you prefer watching videos. It's a matter of choice. Some people like to do that, some people don't like to do that, so it's up to you how to get started. The following thing is also really important, kind of valuable, and people seem to like this a lot. So AKMS SP PNP Docs, you'll land to the docs.com PNP site, and there's more than 100 presentations there. So all of the webcast presentations, maturity of the presentations, like this one, what I'm delivering right now, is going to be shared within that location for you to consume. So if you find a funky looking slide, the easiest way to go is to that location. You just download the presentation and start using that. Because it, again, it's completely your choice. We do share everything what we do for you to reconsume. One kind of additional side note. So at some point, personally, I've drawn quite a lot of PowerPoint slides. So I started collecting all of my drawings in a single deck. So there's a one PMP graphics presentation, which, for example, have 120 slides, ready to use technical explanations on individual topics of SharePoint. So you do not have to start from scratch. You can actually find that technical thing already there, and you have a slide to explain that technology for your customers. Feel free to reuse any way you want. Good. And like mentioned, the key objective of PNP is to simplify and ease up development, give you tools to get started, provide you reusable components and things which help you to be productive within the SharePoint area. And that's really what we are for. So what we have right now available, if you think about the existing stuff for existing in-production SharePoint customizations, we have PNP.NET Core Component, which is essentially a wrapper on top of the CSM, the client-side object model. Because whenever you're writing provider-hosted add-in, whenever you're writing Azure Web Charm, you are connecting back on the SharePoint. And quite often you use a client-side object model to do that, because that's the most fulfilled API for SharePoint for now. The PNP.NET Core Component simplifies that API efficiently, and actually quite a lot, because actually it is providing you simplifications of methods. So the CSM actually is pretty, how would I put it? When you write something like create a list within a SharePoint, it actually requires quite a lot of code. Using the PNP Core Component, it's a one method, as an example. So it will increase the productivity of your team whenever you're writing something against the SharePoint online. We do have a PNP PowerShell, which is actually taking granted of the PNP Core. The PNP PowerShell does not compete against SharePoint Online Management Shell. SharePoint Online Management Shell, coming from engineering, is for administrative operations, setting tenant properties and all of that. PNP PowerShell is actually for content management. So what you can do is, for example, automate creation of lists and items and uploading items to the list, automating site creation, template extraction, template deployment using scripts if you prefer that. So essentially, the core component is for managed code, and the PNP PowerShell is for those who prefer scripts. And to be fair, the PowerShell is extremely widely used because quite often people rather want to write scripts, because they are much more easily editable rather than the core component. I'm going to show them both in a second. The PNP Partner Pack is a starter kit, and this is a typical starter kit for typical SharePoint Online customizations. What's the number one thing what customers are asking with SharePoint Online? We want to have a self-service site collection creation. I want to have some sort of a reliable templating mechanism so I can save my sites as a template to be available within tenant level. Not within site collection level, within a tenant level, for subsites and site collection creation. So the PNP Partner Pack actually does that. And it's a starter kit, which you can use as such. You can rebrand that and use it, or you can use it as an inspiration for your customization. So how do you do responsive UI in a classic, responsive UIs in a classic SharePoint? How do you provision site collections using the remote APIs? All of that is shown in the PNP Partner Pack and open source community initiative as well. The PNP JavaScript Core is something relatively new, or we started that actually in February because we knew what's gonna happen with SharePoint framework, but we couldn't be able to actually talk about that. So we started working on this JavaScript web stack development style already in February, which was the PNP JavaScript Core. But it was a good example. We started this initiative in PNP. We couldn't actually tell the community why, but the hidden reason was then announced on 4th of May, which is the SharePoint framework, where you actually do web stack development using the JavaScript development tooling. That's a kind of a free-to-use wrapper, which will simplify JavaScript development with client-side, either SharePoint framework, or if you use JavaScript right now today within your SharePoint customizations as well. So you can create lists, you can create or read lists and items in extremely efficiently using that API. And it's a community-driven initiative as well. There's a good example actually there, which is on the black one, if you can see that. Sorry, that's pretty low. I'm going to show something in practice in a second. But it's a fluent API, and it's a slightly different approach when how the typical APIs might be, or JavaScript libraries might be looking. So this is more kind of a helping people to move into the JavaScript slide. You're able to use it in a way that you write bnb.sp.web. That's pretty logical. You're accessing the web.lists, okay? I'm in a list collection. Ensure my list means that, hey, let's create that list there if it's not there. So it's going to actually simplify your JavaScript development enormously with those APIs as well. And then there's other components and solutions. But let's have a look on this. I'm going to run through all of these in a one demo, which hopefully all of it will work properly. So it's going to be a relatively fast one, but I want to walk through all of these individual fellows and quickly explain what they are for, because I know that there's different audiences and interested on different topics. So let's start with the core component. Just quick, simple demo on that one. This is a Visual Studio 2015. It works in 2013 as well. And I'm going to start using the PMP core component. This is a console application at this time, just for a sake of simplicity. Just as well, it could be a provider hosted add-in. It could be an Azure application, which is connecting to the SharePoint. Again, up to you where you want to use this managed component. How do I get started is that I actually go to the NuGet gallery, and I start using the BMP core component from the NuGet gallery. So I go to the browse window, and I'm going to look for Office Dev BMP. And right now, we are seeing 5 items within a list. We do have Office Dev BMP cores 16 and 15, and those are deprecated, like you can actually see from the description. But we haven't actually taken them away yet due to backwards compatibility reasons. We're trying to be, we are actually backward compatible with BMP core component, so, and we release monthly releases and updates to it all the time. But what you should be looking for is the tree below. And so it's these three fellows which are the most interesting ones. And why do we have 3 different libraries? Well, that's because the native SharePoint CSAM is actually dependent on the version where it's hosted. So you cannot use the client-side object model for SharePoint Online against SharePoint 2013. Because, well, technically you can, as long as you don't hit an API, which isn't in 2013. So what we've done is that you, as a developer, you choose what is your target, and you start using, and you choose the NuGet package based on that. And it does not expose any APIs which are not within your target environment. So in my case, I'm going to start looking on a SharePoint Online. So I'm going to install that to my project. And what's going to happen is, first, it's going to ask me a license. It's going to download all of the needed dependencies. There's quite a lot of them, like the client-side object model. And when it's actually downloading them and adding them to my project, you can see that the references list is updating automatically. But immediately after that, I'm ready to go. So I'm actually able to start connecting to SharePoint using this Visual Studio code and starting doing development, whatever is needed. And let's do a quick demonstration on the value of this component as well, as long as the stuff goes down from the NuGet gallery. There we go. So let's get actually started simply by adding a kind of a small snippet. So let me add here SBO context. So this is just a simple code, which is essentially for my managed code to get access on SharePoint Online. I'm going to actually hide that one so you can more easily see what I'm doing. So this is just the wrapper to get started on accessing the SharePoint Online. I'm going to update that to be dev. So, and we're missing some using statements, so let's actually fix them as well. There we go. So after this one, running this code is asking, well, it's actually taking the password for my environmental variables, then it's connecting to the SharePoint Online, it's using the SharePoint Online credentials, and after that, I can actually get started on my development. Now, because we have an access and reference to the core component, I do not need to explicitly start using that. And what I mean with that one is following. So when I write here CTX, which is the client context, web create something. Let me zoom there. You can probably, hopefully, see that. Now, what? Let me zoom. Oh, not that much. Ooh. So what's interesting here is that there's quite a lot of actually, let me try one more time. Ah, my mouse is acting funny. Okay, not going to do that. So all of these additional methods, which are part of the core component, let me try one more time, and I'm not going to move the mouse. All of these additional methods, which are part of the core components, are automatically exposed because they are extension methods against the native CSAM API. As long as you have a reference to the core component, voila, you have additional methods available. Natively within CSAM, we do not have a method called activate feature. We do not have a method of create a content time. But as long as you have a reference to the core component, bam, you have additional set of methods for you to consume and start writing development. Those methods are actually wrappers, which are then using CSAM inside of them. But let's do an example. So I'm going to do here, I'm going to slightly zoom that you can hopefully see on the back as well. And let's actually put that one there. And I'm going to actually create content type. And let's create a content type quickly on my site collection. Let's call that ignite doc 2. I don't know if I have some of there as well. It is asking the content type ID, which is, well, I want to do a document content type, so it's 0x0101, which is our native document. Then I'm going to extend that with my custom custom GUID, so let's quickly do a GUID, because everything is GUID in SharePoint, like you know. So let's actually do that. And let's get rid of the additional steps so we can actually do this content type in the site. So, and I want to create that content type to a specific, let's call this Ignite group. There we go. And with the one line of one method and one execution of one line of code within my Visual Studio, I have the actual content type created on the site. If you would be using the native CSAM, you would have to actually write quite a lot of stuff on making this happen. If we extend this slightly, so let's do var list ctx web create list. We, by the way, don't have a native that method available. Again, PNP extension. I want to do a list template, let's do a list template and a document library. Not my side document library, that would be pretty weird. And document library, and let's call this ignite specs, doesn't really matter. And we want to, not enable versioning, and then we want to do enable content type. Enable content types, and let's set that as true. So now we have a list available within the site. Well, technically not yet because I haven't executed the code, but we can imagine that the list is there. after that line, the list is there, and then I can actually do add content type to the list, content type to the list with name, by name, and our name was actually ignite doc 2. And let's actually set that as default content type to the list. So that I'm not actually fooling you guys, let's go to this site. I'm going to copy that. That's one of my test tenants or test sites. So let's go in here. It's going to refresh the page. Network guards are with us, which is good. So site contents, we're able to see that within the site we have Ignite, but we don't have Ignite specs. So let's actually now, am I missing something? So let's create this. So let's execute this one. And if everything goes well, I didn't put any breakpoints. It's a console application. It's going to connect to the SharePoint online. It's going to then execute those methods, three lines of code. And what we will get then, there we go. Oh, almost like, ooh, there's an exception. No, it's executed the lines and shut down the console application. So now if I refresh my page, here we go. We can see that we have a, do we have it? If we should have it, and let's zoom down. So we do have Ignite Specs document library available. If I go to that document library, we're able to see that it's a modern document library, which, by the way, has the Ignite Docs content type within it as well. 3 lines of code. So if you've ever written that in a CSUM, that's like 60 to 100 lines of code normally. And that's really the power of the BMP core component. Increases the developer's productivity, hopefully enormously. Somebody was clapping on the room. That's always good. Whee! Cool. So it's pretty awkward when you need to ask that, but that's cool. That's cool. So the other one what I quickly wanted to show was the BMP PowerShell. And again, we get to the SharePoint framework as well, no doubt today still. But we want to make sure that you have something what you can also consume immediately on Monday. How many of you know BMP PowerShell? 1/3. Okay, cool. So the BMP PowerShell is, again, open source extension. And what the BMP PowerShell is, it's available from the PowerShell gallery. Or you can download an MSI from the BMP GitHub as well. And we have guidance on how to get started with that one as well. What it actually does is that it includes the core component. But what it means is that you as an IT pro, even though the Visual Studio might not be something what you want to use, you can actually take granted of all of that goodness what we have in the core component within your script. And you can start uploading stuff, you can export templates, create site collections extremely efficiently just by using scripts. The beauty of the scripts is that you can then easily automate movement of data across tenants or environments and whatever it needs to do. So let's actually quickly do this. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to connect SPO online. And that's already a BMP PowerShell command. So I'm going to connect to my dev site collection as well. So let's write that one properly here. Still learning the new surface because I got a new surface quite recently, so there might be some typos, but it looks good this time. Because I didn't provide any credentials, it's going to ask me the credentials which I want to sign in. And by the way, it supports ADFS, it supports web logging as well if you have a multi-factor authentication and all of that. So it actually you're able to sign in multiple different ways. But in my case, I don't have, so I'm going to sign in just by using my personal credentials. And there we go. And there's a typo. Oh, really? I'm blind. Thank you. That was pretty obvious. I seem to get getting old because I need to go back on the screen. It's the downside of having massive screens at home. But then you are actually presenting from the smaller screens. Now, we connected on SharePoint Online. So if I now do a quick checkup, so let's actually get the context token. The beauty of the BNP PowerShell is that you actually get access on the context as well. So let me do this. Oop, there we go. And what the context means is that if you need to have access on any of the additional data or properties which are exposed in CSUM, but not in the native SharePoint Online management shell, you actually get access on it. So we give you access on the context, we give you access on the objects, we give you access on the data within the SharePoint side as well. Anyway, and there's more than 160 commandlets available for you to consume. So we can actually see in here that I'm connected to the SharePoint Online, but what I wanted to quickly show is, and we have that context. If I go to the context and web, it works in the same way as CSUM, as in the client-side object model. The actual web objects have not been yet loaded. So that means that the web information is not yet available, which means that in my script, I need to actually get it loaded. So I can do CTX load, and we want to load the CTX.web. And then we need to execute that request. Essentially, we're requesting SharePoint, the PowerShell, to load that information. It's not going to do that automatically. We rather need to request that to be executed. So if I do execute SPO query, and then I go back on my web information, I have the data available. But essentially, you have access on all of the objects within the SharePoint Online. You're able to start using all of the stuff. And there's a lot of different capabilities available with this PowerShell as well. So I can, for example, create a new list. So let's do a new SPO list. Let's call that dest ignite. So we can find it from the list of stuff. I can do template, and I can do document library. And let's give it a URL as well in the site. Test ignite. So my PowerShell for creating executed, that list actually now exists within the SharePoint Online. The beauty again of doing this in a script is that I can easily repeat that if you don't want to do Visual Studio Code. Or I can parameterize all of this information really easily in PowerShell. Now, let's actually make this slightly more difficult. Okay, like creating a list, that's not actually that interesting. But let's actually create a field as well. So SBO field. Whoop, not file, field. There we go. And, so I'm going to add that one in the list, which is called test ignite. So I want to add a new list item to the list, and its display name will be location, for example. Internal name will be then, let's call that location as well. Location, typos. It's Finglish, so. And I want to actually create a choice field. Yeah, it's a funny thing. The Finglish joke always works. But it's an accent, I know. I want to create this field to a group called, let's call this demo ignite. And then I want to add it to the default view. Add to default view, that's fine. And then I want to have that few choices available. So let's call those choices as Atlanta. Let's call it Helsinki. That's my base location. And for example, Stockholm. Because these are PowerShell, the BMP PowerShell is done or controlled, let's put it this way. There's a lot of people who contributed on this one. But originally created by Erwin van Hoonen, who's one of the BMP core team members, and he's based on Stockholm. So at least we had some sort of a reference there. So there we go. Now we have a field available within the list. Let's go and have a look on that, because I want to show you in practice how it actually, how efficiently it really works. So let's go to the site contents, and let's scroll slightly down. Hello page, there we go, there's my content. What did we create? We created test ignite. There's my library. And if I actually drag and drop a file here, so let's actually add that file available. I can, yep, that looks good. And now if we go, for example, the details of this file, we can see that it has a location field. Ooh. It has a location field, which has actually Atlanta, Helsinki, and location on it. So again, two lines of PowerShell scripts, and I was able to create a list with the default entry on the list. I could have associated the content type to the list and all of that. And again, increases productivity. Good. Now, let's do one more. Few more demos on the stuff what you want to know right now, and we're going to move on after that. So one of the things what we also wanted to quickly show is the BMP Partner Bank. So like mentioned, the BMP Partner Bank is ready to get started tool for you, and it's available in Office Dev and BMP Partner Bank. And we have a lot of these references in our landing page in the dev.office.com. But the BMP Partner Bank is there to get started, kickstart your solution development within the SharePoint Online. It shows how to do custom branding. It shows how to do custom site creation. It shows how to do self-service site creation. It shows how to control massive amount of site collections and, for example, reapply new branding on all of them using a UI elements. You can create subsites using the BMP provisioning engine. You can do a lot of other stuff with it as well. And I'm going to show some of the functionalities in practice in a second. But if you go to the GitHub Office Dev BMP Partner Pack, that's where you find it. And we have a lot of guidance available, including video with Paolo, who's sitting in the audience, how to get actually started with this one. So what do I need to do? What are the step-by-step guidances? There's our guidance video. We will upgrade these videos based on the new releases as well. And we help you to get started on these things. But this is an awesome thing, just for example, to show the power of SharePoint Online and Azure applications, because this actually takes advantage of the Azure apps model. It is using Azure web jobs for asynchronous processing, because whenever you create a site collection, that might take a while. You all know that. Well, maybe not in the future, but still, currently it does take a while. So you don't want to do that stuff in a synchronous way, because so you want to asynchronize that operation. The BNP partner packs shows how to do that. It also shows, It also shows other stuff. So let's actually close that one. Other stuff like the custom branding appliment without a custom master page, which might be an option. Every now and then we know that we do not recommend using custom master pages, but every now and then you must do them. It depends really on the business requirements. But again, as an end user, me as an end user, not as an administrator, I can go, for example, to this web application, which has been installed to this imaginary tenant, and I can self-service create my site collections. So we provide a mechanism to publish templates for that particular company so that the end user can select what kind of template they actually want to use. Now, what's really cool about the BNP Partner Pack 2.0 and in general around these templates, which are based on the BNP provisioning engine, is that we even have an open source gallery available already today, which we haven't really announced until today, which is pretty cool. Where you can actually go as a, if you consume the templates, you can go here and have a look on if there are templates which might be usable for you. If you want to contribute a remote provisioning templates, and again, these are not site templates, they are evil. We'll get back to that on afternoon session. These are remote provisioning templates which are good for the future as well. So if you can actually contribute using this gallery, you can get other people to use your templates and all of that. Now, what's really cool about the BNP Partner Pack 2.0, it actually shows how to integrate to this gallery as well. So what happens is that if I want to, for example, find, we don't have too many templates here available, and they're pretty basic for the time being, but we can see that we have, for example, absence vacation requests template available. So if you want, and again, you can absolutely disable this, but if you want to expose your end users that, I can go to a templates provider, I can select BNP Templates Gallery, and I can search for requests, and voila, I will get actually results out of that generic open source gallery where we have those remote templates available. So now the end users can immediately start using those templates if they want to. And again, it's up to you if you want to expose the setting for your end users or not. Typically, I would say it's more common that customers want to have a standardized set of templates available. So let's see if I can actually, let me click here. So standardized set of templates available. Quite often, it's only one template which has a custom branding because people don't want to use multiple different adaptions. But again, it depends on a business scenario. But me as an end user, without any admin permissions, I can go here, this tool, which can be exposed using SharePoint and the app launcher. And I can fill out, for example, title. I can fill out the managed path if that's relevant. I can set the URL. I can set the site policy. And I can set, for example, the principals or site collection administrators. So I can do something like Irvin in here. And it's using the Office UI Fabric components, so it's actually showing how to do that as well. So you can actually adapt on the future UIs. And then I can select if the site is external sharing, will it enable partner-backed extensions, enable responsive designs or not. And again, maybe those are settings which you don't want to expose to your end users, so you can get rid of those additional settings if you want. If you want to expose them to your end users, that's absolutely fine as well. And again, it's an inspirational solution for you to adapt based on your business requirements. Now, If I click next, it's actually going to ask, well, it's not now. I'm feeling missing some information, but I'm not going to actually create this here. I'm going to show you the end result. It's going to then queue up the site collection creation. There's an Azure web job which will then process that, and it's going to create the site collection and send an email for the people who are administrators. Now, what we have in the BMP partner pack is also the responsiveness. So this is what you get with that particular template as an example. A custom themed, well, it's not a super, super custom branded, but it has a custom theme, it has a custom logo available. But also what it actually has is something super cool. So if I start moving this to a smaller area, you can see that even though it's a SharePoint, classic SharePoint, it actually starts adapting the size of the window. And I can then see, for example, the menus in a smaller device. And so this is the PMP, well, the SharePoint UI responsive UI package, which is then adapted inside of the PMP partner pack and included on it as a reference implementation. You can use the UI responsive package as such, as an isolated thing as well, but in this case, it's kind of a bundled into the PMP partner pack 2.0. and it shows how to do that. Obviously, this is not a, and how to make the existing SharePoint, which isn't responsive, still actually surprisingly responsive. Obviously, if you have custom styles, custom master page, then it cannot do that automatically because it doesn't have any artificial intelligence behind of it. We tried to do that, but it was pretty difficult. No, but it's actually pretty cool, and it works surprisingly well. And it even goes to the level of, if you go to the libraries, it goes there. If I go to the site settings, it actually even makes the site setting responsive as well. So if I start adapting the UI, you can actually see that the site settings is adapted based on the functionality. And I can still see it get the menus available. Pretty cool. Yay. Now, what's also really interesting, what we actually do with PMP core component, and especially in PMP partner pack, we show this as a whole solution for people to get the inspiration, is really to replace the out-of-the-box save site as a template. And like mentioned, it's evil. We're going to talk about that with John Squires on afternoon. Why is it evil? What we've done with the PMP partner pack is that we actually have save site as a provisioning template option within the site settings. We could just as well actually get rid of this one. Right now, we're not doing that automatically, but that could be really easily adaptable within the implementation. But what this one is doing is that if I save site as a template, provisioning template, it actually moves outside of SharePoint. It moves to our custom implementation and the custom UI in the PMP partner pack. Might be confusing, but then again, if needed, you can adapt this to look like a SharePoint still. But this one has a few additional advantages. So I can, for example, include site groups, as in permissions and security when I'm saving the site. I can also say that do I want to include the UI files and the branding files or none. But most importantly, this is actually the most coolest thing around this one. You can save site as a provisioning template, and you can choose, is it automatically available across the tenant as a save template for others to use, or only within that site collection. The native site template capability does not have all of these goodies. It's limited on a site collection. Then you need to copy that template across site collections. And then after a while, you have multiple versions of the templates, and you can't keep up on who's using which templates. And then we upgrade something in the sites, and then the template doesn't work anymore, and all of that. So this one is using the remote provisioning engine, which is actually fully aligned where we're heading in the future as well within the SharePoint customization side. And it doesn't have the versioning challenges as such. Now, so much to talk about. Quickly, just showing here, we also have in the PMP partner pack stuff like you can refresh existing sites. So if you do a template, if you create, let's say, 100,000 site collections using one template, and you want to modify all of those sites, you want to make sure that all of those sites have one additional document library available. You update the template, put it in the PMP partner pack infrastructure site collection, click that button, and it will be an Azure web job doing multiple threads at once, and we're going to start updating the existing sites without any downside. Hey. Cool. One quick thing what I wanted to still do, and then talk about the SPFX after that, and those resources, what we have there. So one of the things what I really quickly wanted to show also is the JavaScript PMP JavaScript core. Kind of I mentioned this one, if you're in the web stack development and web development, it might feel slightly different. But this is a JavaScript development tooling for SharePoint FX or for already today with adding model. And the JavaScript, PNP JavaScript library, we need to come up with some sort of a new name for it. Somebody needs to come up like React or Angular. We need to call it something rather than PNP JavaScript core component. That's not a good branding statement. But anyway, the whole idea of this one is that it actually makes the JavaScript development easier for you. What it actually does is that I'm going to quickly show, and I know that it's getting recorded, so I'm going to remove this in a second from my tenant. You have to run or do a setup or the pmp.setup configuration within your JavaScript once. And after that, you don't have to worry about individual HTTP calls and headers and all of that stuff if you don't want to. You can override those HTTP headers and settings which you need to do when you're executing stuff against SharePoint. But you don't have to. It's a one-time configuration for the PNP setup JavaScript object. And after that, it's just using that existing library. And using the library is pretty much, I think it's more familiar for, let's say, I wouldn't call a classic SharePoint developer. That sounds bad, even though I'm a classic SharePoint developer. But it's more aligned on, let's say, the SharePoint way of thinking. So what we wanted to do with this one is provide an alternative. We're not saying that you need to use this. You can use whatever you're using in JavaScript development. But it's an alternative for you to adapt the JavaScript development mechanism and to understand what are we actually querying. So as an example, in the first section, I'm going to actually activate this one here. In these three lines, what I'm doing is that I'm querying I'm actually querying the title of the site. But the logic is pretty understandable. It's pmp.site, sp.web.select. Essentially, we're saying, give me the title property of the web. At least in my height, because I'm a classic server-side developer coming from SharePoint 2007, I can adapt that slightly more efficiently than maybe the alternative options. But again, it's an optional thing for you to use. We're not saying that this is the only thing what you need to use and should use, but if it's more natural for you to use this library, you can use that. The second example behind, after the console log and a few lines is more around creating a list. So creating a list in, let's say, using the JavaScript object model or the REST APIs might be actually pretty difficult, and it might require quite a lot of JavaScript writings. How many of you are doing that kind of stuff in SharePoint? Slightly less than, okay, previous question, but cool. But you understand what we're trying to essentially establish here. So in the BNP SP web list add, so I'm actually creating a new library. I'm giving it the description, the name, and a type. In this case, it's 101, which is a document library. And then I'm executing that. When I'm executing that, it's using the, now my went blackout. It's using, anyway, we can get to that point. Whenever we execute the if results data created, actually, that list has been created within a SharePoint. So we can guarantee that the list is there. You can move to the following line of code, and you can start uploading stuff to the list using JavaScript or whatever you want to do, again, with that list which exists there. In this case, this is actually running in Node.js. So I'm going to just quickly show you in practice. So I'm going to do an F5 here. And I know that it might be weird that it's running in Node.js, but that's also the future of a lot of the stuff in Microsoft. And we can see that if we hit our breakpoint, and we can see that the title of that particular site is actually dev. And I should not have an Ignite.js core library on the site because we went through that site contents in a second. So let's actually see. There we go. If we go now to the site itself and refresh the site, that's here. Nope. Are we in the right? Yes, we are. We're in the right location. So if I go to the site contents, we should now have a JavaScript Ignite core library available and created on the site for others to consume. So going back again on the code, it is a one-line JavaScript execution there we go, is using promises. That was the thing what I somehow got lost on my mind, which isn't that rare. It's using promises, and then it actually executes that query, and you don't have to worry about any of the HTTP headers or anything like that. And again, there are a gajillion JavaScript libraries out there, we'll know that, who are doing JavaScript development. It's a one additional tool for your tool belt. Is it suitable for you? Debatable, we get that. But it's pretty natural, pretty nice flow when you're doing the development, and it has the right intelligence as well. And what I mean with that one is that if I start writing stuff like BNP, SP, web, I can actually see all of the metas available within that object. And it's pretty, well, I would say it increases, again, the productivity of the developers when they're doing this kind of stuff as well. Good. That's it. Let's actually switch back on the slides, and let's talk about slightly the future and what do we have available within the SharePoint framework side. Now, this session is really around, this was 200 level session. So we didn't want to actually deep dive on the code, and we didn't want to actually go there. There's Jack's session, which he did on Tuesday, which is doing slightly that. We do have a lot of webcasts in the YouTube to do that. Typically, if we start deep diving on the code itself, we lose half of the audience. So we wanted to rather give you what we have and walk through how to get started, and then you can spend hopefully your own time on understanding where we're heading and how we're getting there. Now, the SharePoint framework itself is in dev preview, and that's the one thing we need to be aware. So you should not do SharePoint framework stuff right now in the production. To be fair, it doesn't actually work in the production because it only works in the dev tenants right now. So, but pretty soon it's going to be enabled in the first release tenants, so you're starting to be able to use that within a slightly larger data, and you're able to access the real data within a SharePoint. The SharePoint framework right now pretty much includes only the client-side web part. But the SharePoint framework is actually much bigger than that. So we're going to start introducing more and more stuff on the SharePoint framework, and we're going to use the BNP and the videos and webcasts and samples and all of that thinking with the SharePoint framework as well. So you have, and once again, you have a starting point where you can, how you can learn the stuff. We will have tutorials. We actually have tutorials already, even videos of those tutorials on how to get started. The one URL what you want to remember is the dev.offset.com/SharePoint, and where we actually start now adding all of our SharePoint framework data, including all of the documents and references to other stuff as well. The samples themselves will be still in the BNP side. But from the dev.offset.com SharePoint, whenever we start releasing additional stuff, additional capabilities, like mentioned, client-side web part is only the first step. There's a lot of steps coming out pretty soon, or sooner or later. We will start expanding that section in the dev.offset.com. So you want to actually follow up on what's happening. Or easiest way to do that is to follow up on the dev.office.com/blogs, because whenever there's something new, we're going to blog about it. All of these docs which are within the dev.office.com are actually open for contributions as well. We use the BNP monthly communications for monthly messaging and all of that to get you credits if you are actually finding a bug, and we get your submission in a GitHub. So all of the documents what we're seeing there are actually within a GitHub. So we're able to go to the use the GitHub tooling, submit a pull request. Oh, there's a typo. There's probably a lot of typos, even though it's not me responsible of writing them. There's a lot of fingers in my stuff when I'm writing stuff, but that's debatable. But you're able to contribute back. You're able to fix those things. You're able to actually contribute articles if you're really into this stuff as well. What we also have is that you're able to contribute to individual samples in the same way as within PNP. And we already have a few samples available within a GitHub. I think it's around 10. There's a lot of additional samples coming in the future also from engineering side. So our teams within Redmond, our teams within China who are working with SharePoint framework are actually contributing individual samples to this sample gallery around the SharePoint framework as well. And you can relatively easily get started on, as long as you follow the tutorials of setting up your environments, you can already today go to the GitHub repo, the SPDevFX web parts as an example, pull that down, follow up the instructions in a README, do gulp serve, and you're golden. You can actually start playing with the system, you can have a look on the code, you can understand how the SPFX works in your local box, or then if you have a dev tenant also in the SharePoint Online. Now, let's quickly have a look on those assets in practice, and I'm going to show a quick demo on the SharePoint framework as well. There we go. So where's which browser? Which browser? Not that one. Way too many browsers, not that one either. Let's go actually in here. So to dev.office.com, let's go first there. I just want to make sure that everybody understands the value of this one. And one thing what I would ask every single developer to right now is take 2 hours and get started on, well, I would say take 1 hour to get started on the environmental setup, because there's a lot of stuff where you have to wait that to complete. And then another two, or maybe 2 hours to complete the tutorials. So you would get an understanding on how to get started on SharePoint framework development. So how do I find them? How do we actually get started with that? SharePoint framework, get started. In here on the left side, we have set up your Office 365 developer tenant. It's not a developer site collection right now, it's a developer tenant. So you need to request a free developer tenant to be able to do that. Doesn't take long, it's not a big thing to do, but the steps are defined here and how to get started on that. The thing what actually takes some time is the setting up your development environment, because we are installing stuff from the NPM packages, we're installing the templates, we're installing other stuff as well. And this is the step which you probably want to, you want to do this kind of as two steps. You want to run the environmental setup, run the scripts on that one, then you can work on other stuff. Do not wait that script to complete, it takes a while. And then you can actually start doing the tutorials as well. But if we go here on the left side, web parts, and get started, you actually find a nice set of 5 tutorials which are showing you how to get started, how to build your first client-side web part, how to get it running in SharePoint Online, how to deploy that in production, use it, essentially deploy that to the CDN, and how to use, and also how to use Office UI Fabric React components. Super, super valuable set of things, even though it's not in production usage right now. But you will get a glance on the future, where we are heading, and you could kind of ease out, and okay, now I get it, now I understand what it is, great. And then let's wait for the other stuff to come in, and whenever we get to the production usage. And if you find any issues, if you find any and want to give us feedback, more than welcome. We want to listen to your input around this stuff as well. If needed, and if you follow, if you want to, you can always have a look on these also in YouTube, which is an option as well. So you can have a look on all of these tutorials in a YouTube site if you don't want to walk them through by yourself. These are in Finglish, which typically English people can understand. I know, it's a bad joke. But it's essentially me walking through the 5 tutorials and explaining what I'm actually doing, if you prefer a video watch rather than walking through the tutorials. And we kind of do refresh these. I think there will be a new setup of refresh next week. There has been a few updates on our SPFX drops, so we need to adjust certain things and make sure that everything is working properly. But I would strongly suggest you to have a look on what does it actually mean. Now, what else do we actually have? So the BMP videos, I've kind of mentioned already. So we have those tutorials recorded. We have webcasts on the WebStack development, how to get started on Angular, how to get started on Office Graph with the client-side web part, how to do a simple client-side web part, what does it mean? The SPFX webcasts are typically me and Waldeck Mastercards, who unfortunately couldn't come this week here. Due to family reasons, but we keep on releasing these webcasts together, which are showing then individual topics. They're typically, we're trying to target 30 minutes in the PMP webcast. We never can make it, and it's slightly above 30 minutes. we're trying to really concentrate on that, so that they would be rather 15 to 30 minutes, so that they don't take too much of your time if you watch them through. Now, what else do we have? So in the GitHub, the SharePoint GitHub is relatively new. So SharePoint organization has been created to the GitHub, where we will have all the future SharePoint open source stuff available for you to consume, for you to contribute, and for you to get access. So all the samples on the SharePoint framework will be in this GitHub repo. We will leave the existing PMP stuff under Office Dev, because we don't want to break anybody who's using them. We might maybe relocate the JavaScript one here. But we want to kind of differentiate that the existing stuff, which is absolutely valid, absolutely supported, we keep on doing that as well. We don't want to move that suddenly over to this organization, and then you can't find them anymore. But the new stuff in the SharePoint organization in GitHub. In here, we have three repositories right now available, which are the dev samples, which is actually showing how to do. In here, we have one sample with Bert Janssen, which is the webhooks sample, which is actually showing how to get started with SharePoint webhooks. And it has a nice tutorial and explanation, okay, this is what I need to do to get started already right now within the production. Well, that doesn't really relate to SharePoint framework, so the SharePoint framework samples are in the SPDev FX web parts repo right now, because whenever we release a new stuff under SharePoint framework, because it, again, it's not just web parts, those samples will be in our own repo. So you can actually, based on your interest, you can find what's relevant for you. But in here, we have close to, let's say, 10 samples. Some of them are coming from the community, some of them are coming from the engineering side, and you can actually already start using them using the local workbench developer experience. And following up on the tutorials, you can actually get started on this. A lot of new stuff will be coming here as well. Really, it's nothing more than actually pulling that down and then setting when you have the environment running, you do, I'm not going to actually get myself up, I'm going to do gulp serve. And what's going to happen when you followed up on the guidance, followed up on the on any prereqs of the web parts, it's going to start the gulp serve functionality in Node.js, and it's going to give me the SharePoint workbench for all of these samples. And this example is using Angular to create, for example, to-do tracking solution. It's a relatively simple sample, but again, I personally always prefer a simple sample first so I can understand the concept and then I move along on things. So this is a good example of one of the fellows available. So I need to do Ignite presentation and I need to close the Ignite presentation quite soon as well. But I can manipulate these items just as well. These could be saved in a SharePoint list or a task list, but it's a web part which you can adjust, a web part which actually behaves and works already pretty nicely. So I can filter out, for example, what are the to-dos or tasks which are available and which are not available. I'm not going to deep dive on the code because it's a good example. That's something what you can easily pull down and have a look on the code. We do have a webcast on this one as well with Waldeck, which is explaining how is it implemented, how the Angular is being used here, and all of that. Good. Let's move back on the slides, and it seems to be that we need to, unfortunately, close the presentation quite soon. I could talk hours and hours and hours. Cool. How to participate in the PMP initiative, few slides, just a quick walkthrough on this. Absolutely, join the community. You don't have to. It's absolutely fine if you don't want to share anything. It's your precious, but we want to share for you, and it's also absolutely fine. If you can just consume, that's contributing as well, but I want to have that community moving as well. Hopefully, if you consume some of our stuff, you also contribute back. Or if you find a bug, that's absolutely fine. Create an issue. Tell us something is wrong. Give us feedback. That's already a start. If you have skills to do a pull request, that's absolutely fine as well. If you create a new sample you want to give back, awesome. That's a really great thing as well. Anything is always better than nothing, like always in life. But really, what we want to do, everybody who's contributing, we have a lot of these people actually in the room as well, for people from these companies who contributed. We want to pinpoint and give you credits out of it. We can't give you, let's say, it's an open source thingy. We can't give you actual money on the contribution, but we can give you acknowledgement. We can give you a visibility. We want to promote you on what you're actually doing and that your company and you are actually helping on this journey together with others. That's really the key point what we can provide. How to participate, I'm going to quickly run through this. We have multiple channels on doing this. There's a summary slide in a second which has massive amount of links, but really is around using or contributing or giving us bugs and reports on the if you find any issues on existing samples. And three points which I want to close up the whole thing. The PNP is there to kickstart your solutions. You do not have to start from scratch. You can start with the existing validated, verified, proven practices from PMP, and start delivering solutions for your customers. It's also a really easy way to stay current. Follow up on what's happening in the dev.office.com blogs. Follow up on what's happening in Twitter. We tweet through Office Dev nowadays as well. My tweets, Office Dev PMP tweets, and all of that. And really, it's around learning the proven practices. For the SharePoint framework, we don't have that much proven practices yet. We'll get there. We'll have you, all of that guidance laid out for you by the time we go to the GA, essentially global availability for SharePoint framework. So you do not have to worry about what's the right way and the wrong way of doing stuff. And that's what the PMP is all about. Maybe those three things are the things which I want you to remember out of this session, hopefully. Now, it's time to close up, so I'm going to leave this one in here. If there's any questions, I think we need to close up on the from a recording perspective, from a timing perspective. I will be standing here for any random questions around SharePoint development, farm solutions, add-ins, SharePoint FX, whatever you want to ask. I will be here free for you. That's a massive amount of URLs, I know. But if those are pinpointing to individual location, if you need to remember one URL, it's the one on the top. AKMS SharePoint PNP. But thank you, everybody, and thank you for your contributions.